take your Bible, if you would, and find, if you would, quickly the second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians again. Chapter number 2 is our text for our Bible study, and so good to see you at Bible study. I wish I had time just to tell you how God is moving in the lives of people and what things that He is doing in response to their faith, in response to prayer, and it's just exciting to know those things and celebrate the goodness of God. We've enjoyed being in this book. We've been in this book for a little while, and it was not my intention to preach it verse by verse as much as it was just to preach it as God would unfold some things that He would have for us. We're reading this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote probably very early in his ministry, one of the early letters that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. We understand from the book of Acts the founding of this church. We understand how Paul came there and came there out of suffering some persecution and things in Philippi, as he mentioned himself, and how God led him to Thessalonica, and he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Those people received the truth. You understand that it wasn't very long that Satan infiltrated that situation. The Apostle Paul was run out of the city, and to use his own words in a moment, he was taken from them. While in his absence, they were a little bit vulnerable to the infiltration of others. They were a little bit vulnerable to some people that had some malicious feelings and intent. And they began to attack the Apostle Paul. They began to attack the gospel. They began to attack the doctrines of the Word of God. They began to attack the motive of the man of God, the method, his message, and all of these things. Paul referenced that in the very first verse of chapter 2 when he references that you, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. And so not only had they brought in some false doctrine when it came to the coming of the Lord, the rapture and the second coming of the Lord, and what Jesus had truly saved them from as far as tribulation, and robbed their peace of the joy of salvation. By the way, if we as saved people had to wait on the earth for the tribulation, I think we would be robbed of our joy as well, right? I'm glad that I don't have to look for the tribulation, that I get to look for the coming of my Savior. And so even Paul talked about, when I left you, if you look at the very last verse of chapter number 1, he says, and when I left you to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so, boy, they had been all stirred up and everything. And so the Apostle Paul is writing a letter back to them, and it's in response to Timothy's visit to them and Timothy's report back in chapter 3. We'll get there in a couple of weeks about Timothy's report, what God had been doing. But Paul's defending. He's defending the Lord. He's defending the gospel. He's defending himself. Chapter number 1, he uses as a defense their own conversion and what the gospel did in changing their lives, what salvation had done to them. The Apostle Paul, in verse number 3 of chapter number 1, is talking about the way he prays for them, how he remembers without ceasing their work of faith. That was their receiving of the Lord, their labor of love, how they served the Lord, the patience of hope in the Lord as they were settled there, knowing, verse number 4, brethren, beloved, that your election is of God. He talks about the assurance he has in the gospel and what happened to them. Verse number 6, how they became followers of us. Verse number 7, they became examples to others. Verse number 8, they were a sound witness for the Lord. And so when the Apostle Paul left them, Jesus was in them and had done a marvelous work. And now he's having to write to these people to defend himself. And so in chapter 1, he's using their conversion. Chapter number 2, he's using his conduct. And so he goes back to their memory again. Verse number 1, for yourselves, brethren, know. Verse number 9 of chapter 2, for ye remember. Verse number 11, and you know. And so he goes back to what they knew as far as Paul's conduct while he was there. And he talked about how he wanted to please the Lord, not men, how precious they were to him, how he nurtured them as a nursing mother would nurture her child, how when he exhorted them and comforted them and charged them, it was like a father that doeth his children in verse number 11. And really and truthfully, in his exhortation, he had a goal for them. In verse number 12, he wanted them to walk worthy of God, who hath called them unto his kingdom and his glory. It wasn't that he was trying to allure some kind of cult or some kind of following to himself. He was introducing them to the gospel, to the Lord Jesus. And then he wanted their lives to be evidenced and lived accordingly to the value of what Christ had done in them. And so he went on. He in verse number 13, and we talked about this, is as he began to praise them for how they had received the word of God as it is in truth. We talked about how we receive the word of God. It effectually worketh also in you. At the end of verse number 13, he talked about how the living word of God energized them and what it had done. And so he was just going back and visiting all of this in defense and encouragement and with a loving heart. And as we've looked at what the Apostle Paul has done at the church at Thessalonica, we've been able to grab truths to apply to our everyday life. And so having that understanding, I wanted to bring you tonight to verse 17 of chapter 2 as the Apostle Paul is concluding the chapter here. He makes a statement in this chapter that I want to give as our Bible study tonight. Verse number 17, he says, but we brethren, and here's that word I referenced to you earlier, being taken from you, not led, but taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. Of course, that's what was being challenged, was his heart, his motivation. Endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. And would you finish verse 18 with me out loud, please? But Satan hindered us. I've just been dominated by that statement in this chapter. And I know it's what God would have us tonight to encourage us in our Bible study. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for honest Christian people that know how to honestly communicate the Christian life. It doesn't take you any time at all to be saved to realize that salvation changes your heart. Salvation changes your life, it changes your destiny, but it does not make you absent of the problems of life. And it does not mean that you're going to live a problem-free, perfect life. Praise the Lord, it does mean that I have the Lord Jesus with me as I go through those times. And so I love the Apostle Paul here in one of the evidences that the church could trust him was his honesty. And remember, I told you, it's a personal and precious notebook that God inspired him to write. And he's writing to the church because he's been absent from them, and the devil has taken advantage of Paul's absence. By the way, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. You give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. There is no more greater opportunist than Satan himself. And he always takes advantage of situations to try to further his work and try to drive us away from the Lord. And so the church is absent the apostle, they're absent their spiritual leader, and they look to the enemy to be vulnerable. What the enemy forgot was they may be absent from their physical leader, but their Savior lives in their hearts. And so I'll show you in a minute how this didn't work out too well, but he takes an opportunity and advantage here. And Paul knew that they were struggling, and he knew that they were struggling in his absence. And Paul said to them in writing the letter, I tried to get to you. Do not let them tell you that I wrote you off or that my distancing was something that I could help. And in the midst of that, he makes one of the most powerful statements, and he talks about how Satan hindered him not just once, but over and over and over, and kept the Apostle Paul from getting to this church. Some practical statements come to my thought process right now for us. Praise the Lord, I'm not the worst Christian in the world. Right? Because I have a problem with Satan sometimes myself. Right? You'd be amazed at people's mindset when Satan works in their life. They immediately think somehow that they're the problem. Somehow it just crushes them and discourages them and depresses them. Let me tell you something. If the Apostle Paul had a problem with Satan, you and I are going to have a problem with Satan. If Satan had the ability to hinder the Apostle Paul, well, good night. And just so I can just grab your thought here, well, of course Satan's going to hinder the Apostle Paul. He was the greatest Christian to live. Listen, Satan hates all Christians. Well, Satan's never going to hinder me or bother me. Let me tell you, Grandma, Satan will do what he can to keep you from giving the gospel to your grandkids. Let me tell you something, sir. Satan will keep you from doing keep you as best he can from reading your scripture, from praying, from spending time. None of us are void or exempt from this. A couple other practical things before I get into the lesson. Satan hates the work of God. And he will always try to thwart what God is doing in your life. Third thing, he's like that animal, that roaring lion that looks for the newborn. I have a hard time on the animal channel. I'm okay if the lion kills like a male animal and eats it, but when you kill the little baby animal, I can't hardly watch it, right? From the trapper. So Satan kind of always seeks out the new convert, the vulnerable. Here you got these new believers in Thessalonica, and Paul's absent from them. He takes advantage of this. He takes advantage of distance, and he's coming after the new believers to try to destroy what God has done. He can't make them lose the salvation they have in the Lord Jesus, but he can get them to surrender their joy. He can cause them difficulty here. And so some practical things happen when this thing about when Satan hinders us. The other thing that kind of grabs my attention is, how did Paul know it was Satan? Hold your hand here. Go to Acts 16. Look, if you would, please, at, let's begin at verse number 5. Paul says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, and I want to read that again, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to do what? To preach. Now, preaching is a good thing, amen? It's what God called them to do. There is no way the Holy Spirit of God would ever forbid somebody to preach, right? Paul says, we were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them what? Not. The Spirit said no. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to to Troas. So the Apostle Paul has had the experience of the restraining of the Holy Spirit, and he's also had the experience of the resisting of Satan. And it's very interesting how he was so sure at this point in time that it was Satan hindering him, not the Spirit of God forbidding him. So in the mind of the Apostle Paul, he understood who was speaking and who was the enemy. And I find a lot of times that Christian people, we get ourselves in situations here, and we may not know if it's the Lord forbidding me, or is this Satan resisting me? Is the Spirit of God restraining me? And I get asked all the time, Pastor, do you think this is God speaking to me, or do you think that this is Satan somehow working? The best verse that I could give you that I think would help you know the difference is if you would go to Romans chapter 8. And I think you ought to read this verse here. It's a chapter on the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul is writing this. And in the middle of Romans chapter 8, he makes a statement here about the Spirit of God that I think is helpful to us in determining how we know if we're being restrained by the Holy Spirit to not do something, or we're being resisted by Satan or hindered by him in the work of God. And if you go to chapter 8, verse number 16, I'll just pick up with our verse. This is what Paul is writing here. He says, the Spirit itself beareth what? Witness. Or agreement, now watch this, with our what? That we are the children of God. Okay, so when I'm born in from my mother's womb, I'm born with a dead spirit, separated from God. It's not until I'm born again by the Spirit of God, or born from above, that my spirit receives life. And the spirit of man is that which communes with God, knows God, and communicates with God. And so it's one thing to know God intellectually. It's one thing to know God consciously. But the true way that I know the Lord is that I know him through his spirit, and his spirit lives inside of me. Which, if the Spirit of God is not inside of you, you're not a Christian. Right? So Paul talked about the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, speaks in agreement or bears witness in my spirit. Now, if you've never had this happen to you, you're not going to know what I'm talking about here. But how many have ever had the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit? If you've had that happen, say amen. You know what that's like. You know that there's a part of you that God speaks to through the Spirit that's different than any other way that you receive communication. And it comes with power. It comes with truth. It comes with the Word of God. And it's not just a thought process. You literally feel the Holy Spirit of God speaking or restraining you. Sometimes you communicate it like, Pastor, I just don't have peace about this. Pastor, I cannot feel like I can go forward, or I do not feel like I can stay. I just believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me. Now, he'll speak not audibly, but he'll speak through his spirit to your spirit. He'll speak to the Word of God sometimes. And you just know that God is communicating with you. This was what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I wanted to go and do my plan. My plan was I was going to go over here and preach. And the Spirit of God forbade me. What he's talking about is that witness in his spirit that he knew he was being directed to by the Lord, as it restrained him from doing his plan and guided him into doing what God's plan would be for him. And by the way, God's plan is always the right plan, right? So unless you've ever had that experience as a believer, and you do not need to be saved very long to have this experience. Immediately as the Spirit of God moves inside of you, he begins to illumine the truth of the Word of God. He begins to guide into all truth. He begins to reprove, rebuke, exhort. And you know that relationship as far as being a believer. So this is how the Apostle Paul knew that the Spirit of God was speaking to him as it bore witness in his spirit in the book of Romans. In the book of Acts. In Thessalonica, Paul doesn't say, this is the Spirit of God keeping us apart. This is Satan keeping us apart. A lot of the understanding on this comes off of what is meant by the word hindered. Now come back, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And let me give you what the word hindered, as best as I can find from my dictionaries and studying here, what this word means as far as an understanding. It really is a word, when you talk about hindrance, used throughout the New Testament in a few ways. It's a cutting word. It carries with it the idea to cut into something for the purpose of impediment, or impeding, or stopping. If I was to give you a visual, it would be something like this. Impeding persons by breaking up the road, or by placing an obstacle sharply in the path. It carries with the idea of detaining a person unnecessarily. It's used of hindering progress in the Christian life. Let me give you an example. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. This is where the word is used here. Galatians 5. Paul used it. We were here on Sunday. Verse number 7 would be where we would be. Where's my Galatians go? There it is. Paul says to them, ye did run well, right? Who did what? Hinder you that you should not obey the truth. So you were moving forward in the Lord, but somebody has broke up your road. Somebody has caused an impediment to you by putting an obstacle in your way. Somebody has broke up the road along which you were traveling so very well. It carries with it the idea to hinder, to forbid, to restrain. A strengthening form would be the thoroughness of this. A cutting into that would stop what the process is going on. So the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, now I would have come to you, but once and again Satan hindered me. He broke up my road. He put an obstacle in my way. He tried to impede me or to keep me from getting to you. And so Paul, in identifying these obstacles, but we're not told what they are, but identifying how he was being impeded, he knew that it was not the Holy Spirit of God speaking to his spirit. He knew that it was Satan putting obstacles in his path. If you've ever had Satan put an obstacle in your path in serving the Lord, would you say amen? It's imperative that we recognize that, because the title tonight is learning to navigate around Satan's blockades. And so this is what happens. Pastor, I'm sold out. And I want to serve the Lord, and I'm going to sing in the choir, right? Or I'm going to teach in Sunday school, or I'm going to take this step of faith. And as I begin to make my way down that road, an obstacle, something sharp, something that breaks up that path, gets in my way. And a lot of people just say, well, if God didn't want me, he must not want me to do that. No, God probably did want you to do that, but you need to determine, are you being restrained in your spirit, or are you being restrained by Satan in a hindrance process? And by the way, being hindered by Satan is not necessarily negative. That shows you you're doing what God wants you to do. So sometimes it's good for Satan to put up a little blockade or put up a little difficulty here or to break up my road or to put an obstacle. I guess my question tonight would be to you, what do you do when the road is broke up? What do you do when the obstacle is there? And I had a wonderful illustration of this when I went to Haiti. Because when I went to Haiti for the very first time, and we got in those buses and we got in those vehicles to go out into the villages, we were coming down the road one time, and right in the middle of the road, there was this big rock pile. We got to another section of the road, and the villagers had this board that you drove across, but they wanted money. And so what they did is they pulled the board out, and they were not going to let us cross. And another time, we hit something, and the gas can is leaking. About that really tried my faith right there, to be honest with you. And so I watched as Brother Bill, we faced these obstacles. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, you never know what you're going to face on the mission field. It's never a simple trip. And I thought, well, we're just going to turn around and go back because we can't drive over that. We can't get around that. And he said, no. Let the fellas take care of it. And so they would get out and they dealt with the villagers, and we navigated around the detours. A lot of God's people, Satan throws up a little detour and we just stop. We don't think about, we forget that if God wanted to, he could annihilate that blockade. Now, I don't want you to freak out on this statement. I think you'll understand this. Yes, God takes care of all of our problems. And yes, he's the one we trust in. But sometimes God wants you to exercise a little faith too. Right? And sometimes he doesn't want us to be so easily discouraged. Boy, I have so much, Lord. Slow my thoughts down. So let me give you a little illustration of what I mean by that. Go to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians and just kind of watch the Apostle Paul here as he navigates this. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear what? Forbear the absence, forbear the hindering. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And we sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we're appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be what? In vain. So the Apostle Paul knows. He knows that Satan is trying to keep him from getting back to Thessalonica. And the Apostle Paul has tried one way, and Satan again put a blockade and a roadway there. And for some reason, God allowed Satan to put these. I'll show you this to you in just a moment. It's precious and beautiful. By the way, Satan is not God. So Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. Satan doesn't know the future. He's not all powerful. Okay? So, he's focused on Paul. And Paul didn't say the demons. He said, Satan himself hindered me. And so after he could no longer forbear this hindrance, and God allowed him to continue to put these hindrances in Paul's way. By the way, God does nothing without purpose or plan. So he's putting these things here. And finally, Paul says, I got sick of it, man. And I was not going to let his hindrance keep us from reaching out to you. I knew it wasn't the Spirit of God that was restraining me. I know it was Satan resisting me. And Paul said once and again, which means he didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't just give up. He continued to move forward. He continued to find a way. And finally, Paul said, okay, if you're going to bother me, then I'm going to sneak in Timotheus. And so he sends Timotheus around, and Timotheus comes and reaches the people. What are you trying to say? Sometimes you got to navigate yourself by faith around the roadblock or the blockade that Satan puts up there, knowing he's not God, he's not all powerful, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and there is a path. It may take you a time or two. It may take a little bit of wisdom from you. It may take a little bit of praying for you. It may take a little bit of navigating. It may take some creativity to you. But in your understanding, when you know this is not the Spirit restraining me, this is Satan resisting me, and I'm not going to quit because he throws up one blockade. I told you that he wasn't God. So watch how this works out. Go, if you would, please, to verse number 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings. That surprises me. Why would that surprise me? That surprises me because as you read the narrative, Paul says, we were taken from you. So Satan's been involved in this thing from the beginning. And Satan has hindered me from getting to you. Now here's the average mindset is this. Well, the average mindset is if the Apostle Paul is away from them and the spiritual leadership is away from them, there's no reason that they can survive. Listen, Satan might be able to remove you and I as human, but he cannot remove Jesus from the situation. So the report comes back. Good tidings, verse number 6, of your faith and your love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we're comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. And so it just shows the wisdom of God and how much greater God is than Satan. God has allowed Satan to be distracted. See, Paul, we read it and think, well, Satan was keeping Paul from getting there. But in reality, God is using Paul, keeping Satan distracted, and the whole time Satan's putting all these blockades in front of Paul, thinking he's going to destroy, God is working in the lives of these new believers. He's growing them in faith. They're nurturing on the Word of God, and they're the actual opposite of what is happening. They're thriving in the Lord while Satan's over here all distracted by the Apostle Paul. There's no one more wise than God, right? Don't you get the joy of this? You're sitting there. So sometimes in your life, God allows Satan to put obstacles. And don't just think that that's that God is just concentrating per se. He might be working in some other area of your life, or he might be working in some other area, and he's allowed Satan to do this, and he hasn't blown it away. He may want you to navigate around it, and he's going to let you go around it. He doesn't want it to hinder from you, but just because you feel like you've got this blockade doesn't mean that God can't do something miraculous somewhere else or do something miraculous in your life. And so what I'm trying to tell you tonight is we got to determine who's restraining and who's resisting. We got to determine, is this the Spirit of God or am I being hindered by Satan? Then I've got to determine, of course, if it's the Spirit of God, I'm going to submit to the Spirit of God no matter what. And if it's the restraining of the restraining of Satan where he's trying to hinder me, I'm not going to quit. And I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to break up my road. You're trying to put an obstacle here. But I know in my spirit that I am doing what God wants me to do. I know that this problem that has come up is not God trying to direct me because I just feel peace in my spirit there. I know that you're creating a problem. So you're trying to keep me from singing the choir, or you're trying to keep me from serving in some area, or you're trying to keep me from obeying the Lord here. And you better know that anytime you submit to something that God wants to do in your life, obstacles are coming. If you can survive the obstacle and learn how to just see it for what it is and navigate yourself carefully by the Word of God, navigate yourself carefully through prayer, navigate yourself in consistency. And sometimes you got to be creative in what you do to get around it. Sometimes God just allows you to barrel right through it or whatever. But whatever you do, understand, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So I'm asking you tonight, as you look about what God's where you are in your life, Pastor, I feel a resist. Okay. So is that God forbidding you? Or is that Satan hindering you? In order to know that, you got to spend time with God. You got to let the Word of God speak to you. You have to pour out your soul to say, God, you said in all thy ways acknowledge you and you would direct my paths. I'm acknowledging you. I'm directing you. I'm trusting you to direct me. I'm intent with the Spirit of God. Lord, you got to give me peace. And if God gives me peace, and then as the obstacles come up, and it's almost like it's a chess game. Well, Pastor, I tried to make it happen and I got a sub and I thought this was all going to work out and I was going down this path and then all of a sudden this got blocked. That's how Satan does it, right? Paul said once and again, which means that he just doesn't just build one blockade in your life. He'll build another blockade in your life. He may break the road up here. He may let you walk a little bit, and then he's going to break the road up here. It's behooving upon us to understand what's going on around in our lives. And then what a beauty it is to see how that while Satan was distracting the Apostle Paul, that little church was just thriving as God ministered to that. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what Satan may be blockading you or hindering you from. But I'm telling you something, giving up and quitting is not the right thing to do. If you know in your spirit that God directed you and spoke to you to accomplish something for His glory, and then these things start popping up, you got to expect them to pop up and navigate yourself around it. If it happened to the Apostle Paul, the strongest and most powerful Christian, and Satan got a little bit of a an advantage over him over time and time again, then it's going to happen in our lives. We got to use some wisdom here. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you had to decide if it was God restraining you or Satan resisting you? Yeah. If you can learn how to navigate that path, baby, you will be amazed at the walk with the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray?